The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have three cases on the calendar this morning, only one of which is being argued, and that is Harmonia Holdings Group versus the United States, 2020-1703. Mr. English, please proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. This court should reverse the claims court's judgment for three reasons. First, and primarily, the claims court had Tucker Act jurisdiction over count two of Harmonia's amended and restated complaint, which alleged that the face of Alethix's proposal gave the contracting officer reason to question its size representation. The claims court erred when it decided to dismiss that count for lack of jurisdiction. Second, assuming the court decided to reach the underlying evaluation issues, the claims court erred when it held that the government reasonably evaluated Harmonia's proposal under Factor 1, despite the conflicting strengths and weaknesses assigned to the same proposal factor, same proposal elements under the same evaluation factors.
But counsel, you're putting off, this is Judge Lori, you're putting off on the contracting officer a responsibility which belonged to your own client.
Well, Your Honor, I think that in some respects, as it relates to the fair reading of the proposal, I think that is an obligation that the contracting officer had to give a fair read to the proposal. And as we as it relates to the ETL tool and the peer reviews, our proposal made clear that we were not proposing to peer review another developer's code, and that the ETL tool that was proposed was an example. The specific name that was mentioned, which I think is under the protective order, was an example that was mentioned as one that the Harmonia had used successfully for another agency. It was not wedded to that particular tool, and the contracting officer decided that, or the evaluation team did, that the particular tool could potentially be incompatible and that Harmonia wouldn't use another tool if that was the case. And we don't think that's a fair reason.
But the point is questioning whether Alletrix was benefited by having a non-small business being associated with it. It was a size question.
Well, Your Honor, what we stated in our complaint was we believe a bid protest. We alleged that there was a violation of law in connection with a procurement. And that violation of law was the contracting officer's failure to recognize the obvious, or we think apparent, ostensible subcontractor issue on the face of Alethix's proposal. And under 19301-1B, as it existed at the time, that gave the contracting officer an obligation to refer the matter to the SBA for a size determination, not to make a size determination, but to recognize that there's a potential issue here and to bring that matter to the SBA for resolution.
Well, counsel, even if we were to agree to you that you know, once more the Court of Claims used jurisdiction as a shortcut and that they should have looked at something else, don't you have a real problem with whether or not you have stated a claim where the regulation is not for the benefit of the contractor, it's for the benefit of the government?
Well, Your Honor, our view is that the regulation gives the contracting officer an obligation, and in this instance, it would be for the benefit of the contractor, because if it is a small business procurement, and this was, and we were a small business, but the awardee is not, then the benefit would be, you know, both to the government in terms of honoring the set-aside and meeting the mandates, but also for the other contractors who wouldn't be in a position with competing with the largest integrators in the world for a contract that's supposed to be set aside for women-owned small businesses.
I can understand why you think the first clause in the regulation is for the contractor, where the contractor has the right to make a size challenge. But the second clause, which gives the government the discretion to do it sua sponte, would seem to be something that benefits the government and not intended to directly benefit the contractor.
Well, our view is if we're going to have set-aside procurements and the eligibility rules are what governs, and here that would have been the case, then the second clause of the regulation would have to benefit the competing eligible small businesses, because otherwise you're competing potentially with large business contractors. And if it's not read as a whole, so that the contracting officer has an obligation, if there's reason to question the representation and make the referral, then you have a situation where the largest businesses in the world can compete for small business contracts, and there's nothing that the eligible small businesses can do or have to say about it. And that's the situation
we believe. But shouldn't the obligation be on the purported small business, because its neck is in the news, so to speak? It loses a contract, as it did here, because it was purportedly competing, had to compete unfairly with a large company, which is what you're saying. So isn't the obligation on Harmonia to have raised the issue?
Well, Your Honor, I believe we did raise the issue in the only way that was allowable by law. Our deadline to file a timely size protest, which is how you would normally raise this issue, expired 5 years before the procurement, when Elethix was awarded the schedule contract under which this task order was competed. And so any size protest we filed would have been dismissed by the field office as a matter of law. It would have been, that dismissal would have been affirmed by the Office of Hearings and Appeals as a matter of law. And that certainly would have allowed us to go to the Court of Claims, but the Court of Claims standard of review would have been just to determine whether the SBA acted reasonably when it dismissed an untimely size protest. It could not have gotten to the merits of this issue.
But the government argues that you could have raised it with the government, who then would have the ability under the second clause of the regulation to make the referral, even if yours would have been untimely.
And we think we did, Your Honor. We did not write a separate letter as a size protest to the contracting officer. But the contracting officer participated in this process from the very beginning of the case at the Court of Claims. It was in the initial status conference, and when we raised this ground, the SBA was admitted to those proceedings as well and admitted to the protective order. So they participated at every phase. They had the briefs. They attended oral argument. And if that information was going to spur an action by either of the contracting officer or the SBA, we feel like we've put the information in front of them and allowed them to take that action. Sending a separate letter to the contracting officer with the same information in it and expecting a different result, we think the government's position on that is speculative, because they did nothing in the face of all this information in the record that they had access to. And that, in our judgment, really is, as it relates to the exhaustion element that the Court of Claims focused on, is the biggest problem. We don't feel like there was a remedy that was available to us to exhaust. It would have been a futile act to file a size protest and go all the way up the chain just to get an affirmance of a dismissal as untimely. Everybody agrees that it's untimely, and it would have been...
Is your argument that this is not a size protest, or that it is, but that exhaustion should be forgiven?
Our argument, Your Honor, is that it is not a size protest. We asked the Court of Claims to evaluate whether the contracting officer acted reasonably in light of the face of Elethix's proposal. And did he act reasonably by failing to refer the matter to the SBA for a determination? There was no time where we asked the Court of Claims or this court to look at a size determination or to make a size determination, just to determine whether under these circumstances it was reasonable for the contracting officer to fail to refer the matter to the SBA. And in our mind, the difference between that and a size protest is pretty fundamental, because we weren't asking for a determination. It is true that referral would have resulted in a determination, but there was never a time when the claims court had to review or make one. And I think that's an important distinction between the two different processes, a bid protest and a size protest. All we wanted the claims court to do was evaluate the reasonableness and lawfulness of the government's action, and that's something it does on a daily basis. And it should have done it here. We look at the GAO, whose jurisdiction under Competition and Contracting Act is more limited than Tucker, and they have absolutely no question that they have jurisdiction to deal with this specific issue. That is, when a protester alleges that the face of the awardee's proposal should have given the contracting officer reason to question a size representation. That's all we asked for here, and the claims court didn't reach that ground. It said there was no jurisdiction to reach that issue because we didn't exhaust administrative remedies. But even, Judge O'Malley, even if it was a size protest, and we did not agree that it was, we think that any exhaustion requirement should have been excused because there was no remedy available to us. The only thing we could have done is filed an untimely size protest and work through the layers of dismissal to get to the Court of Claims, and it could not have reached the merits either. There was no way for us to bring a size protest at the time we found out about this issue. And if the size protest avenue was available to us, if it worked the way the government claims it did, then there's really no timeliness issue at all, because if the Court of Claims could review the Office of Hearings and Appeals decision de novo at any time, then any untimely size protest can be revived just by working through the SBA process whenever the issue arises. So that would completely circumvent SBA's timeliness rules,
How would that affect at all, if at all, the contracting officer's best value determination when the best value determination didn't include size status as a factor?
Well, our point as it relates to the best value determination is that there were two issues. One, the contracting officer and the SSA in this procurement, I believe, were the same person. And the SSA's job is to take a final look at the procurement and determine if there are any errors and address them. And we think that is a stage at which this obvious issue on the face of Alethics' proposal should have been recognized. But secondly, and some of this is under the protective order, we believe that even as evaluated, because the decision came down to factor one, we believe we were the awardee that was the best value given the constraints of the solicitation, that the government was not going to make an award to a higher-priced offeror for only slightly technical advantages. I think I'm into my rebuttal time, Your Honor, so if there are no more questions, I'll yield back, or I'll stop at this point.
Thank you, Mr. English. We will save your rebuttal time. Mr. Byrd for the government.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court. In this case, Harmonia primarily seeks to overturn the trial court's sound conclusion that it did lack jurisdiction over Harmonia's size protest, which was the claims court was masquerading as a bid protest, when Harmonia had not first exhausted SBA's procedures for size protest. Harmonia's complaint here is a result of it sitting on its own right. Had Harmonia filed a size protest with the contracting officer, as is prescribed by the SBA's regulations and the Federal Acquisition Regulation, it could have gotten the remedy that Harmonia wanted in the trial court, which was a review of the awardee Alethics' size. Therefore, the trial court's dismissal of Harmonia's size challenge should be affirmed by this court. Secondarily, the trial court's denial of Harmonia's motion for judgment.
What is your point? I mean, how do you respond to the fact that they couldn't have filed a size protest?
Well, Your Honor, Harmonia could have actually filed a size protest as prescribed by the SBA's regulations, which require a size protest in the first instance to be filed with the contracting officer. It is not the contracting officer who has a regulation that requires dismissal of an untimely size protest, but rather the SBA has a regulation that requires them to dismiss an untimely size protest. And the parties in this case agree that a protest at the point Harmonia made the challenge to the awardee size would have been untimely. However, filing a size protest with the contracting officer would have put the contracting officer on notice of Harmonia's allegations regarding the ostensible subcontractor arrangement that Harmonia was alleged to have with a subcontractor, and the contracting officer at that point could have taken those allegations and determined whether they're credible and attempted to remedy the situation. And that remedy, as we detail in our brief, could have resulted in a recertification request that would have
caused... In other words, you're saying would not necessarily have been futile.
Correct, Your Honor. The act of Harmonia filing a size protest as prescribed by SBA's regulation in the first instance with the contracting officer would not have been a futile act. As the trial court recognized, the futility exception to exhaustion of administrative remedies is one that this court has applied narrowly and generally in circumstances where it would have been obviously useless for the parties to go through the administrative remedy process. In this
Counsel, one of my concerns is that it seems like that most of the arguments in your red brief are merits arguments. I mean, it seems to me that the court might have jumped the gun by calling this a jurisdictional question when all that you need for a bid protest is a non-frivolous allegation of a violation of a regulation. And their allegation is not that that they couldn't file a bid protest. Their allegation is that because of the regulations regarding size determinations, the government had an obligation to request a size determination. Whether that's true or not is a question that goes to the merits. So why is this a jurisdictional question as opposed to something that relates to failure to state a claim or standing?
Your Honor, the trial court's opinion doesn't detail the reason why it dismissed for lack of jurisdiction in the case. It notes Supreme Court precedent around the trial court generally lacking power to hear a case when the administrative process has not run its course as promulgated by statute or regulation. However, in this case, even if the trial court had exercised jurisdiction over Harmonia's size protest and allowed Harmonia to basically commandeer the contracting officer as an involuntary proxy for its untimely size challenge, Harmonia's challenge to Elithix's size still would have failed. There's no regulation, as our brief details, that required the contracting officer to presume the falsity of the awardee's size certification in this federal supply schedule task order procurement. In accordance with the FAR provision that Harmonia seeks to have the allegations adjudicated under, FAR 19.301-1B at the time, the contracting officer was required to accept Elithix's representation regarding its status unless
These are all questions, though, that the Court of Federal Claims never got to. In other words,
correct.
You'd be asking us to decide those questions in the first instance.
And, Your Honor, this is a question of law as far as the interpretation of the regulation that Harmonia seeks to indicate that the contracting officer somehow was obligated under to refer Elithix to the SBA. And we do detail in our brief why the interpretation that Harmonia seems to put forth, however, does not actually explain to this court how the regulation warrants the result that they say it does. That has been briefed before the court. And in summary, that regulation is at page 19, note 3 of our brief. And I'm happy to discuss why the interpretation Harmonia puts forth does not actually comport with the language in the regulation. Harmonia appears to suggest that the word shall in the first sentence of the regulation should be disregarded because the CO does not have a duty to accept a size representation, but that's simply incorrect. The regulation in that first sentence provides that the contracting officer shall accept a representation, but then provides two instances in which the contracting officer need not do so. Those exceptions provide the contracting officer discretion not to accept the representation, which he otherwise must do. The shall in the last sentence of the regulation simply means that any challenge of and questions concerning a representation must go to the SBA.
So you're
the
saying
last
that,
sentence reference,
that we can make essentially a harmless error determination if we think there was jurisdiction, and we can do that in the first instance because it's really just a straight-up interpretation of the regulation?
That's correct, Your Honor. The regulation, as a matter of its plain meaning, does not warrant the result that Harmonia says it does, which is that the contracting officer somehow was obligated to have referred the awardee Elithix to the SBA based on any allegations that Harmonia made before the trial court. At base, Harmonia's argument before this court, as it was before the trial court, recognized that Harmonia lacks standing to challenge Elitix's size before the SBA. As we argue in our brief, establish in our brief, Harmonia cannot overcome that lack of standing by filing a size protest in masquerading as a bid process in the trial court, which then seeks to have the contracting officer use his discretionary standing to file a size protest. Permitting such a result by Harmonia, as the trial court recognized, would significantly undermine compliance with SBA regulations by allowing a plaintiff to circumvent the established time frame for filing a timely size protest.
You want to make any comments on the merits?
Yes, Your Honor. If even if the trial court had exercised jurisdiction over Harmonia's size protest, as we detail in our brief, Harmonia's allegation that Elitix's proposal somehow revealed an undue reliance between Elitix and its other than small subcontractor, the name of that company is under the protective order, in this case, is simply based on speculation and a misunderstanding of Elitix's proposal. And we detail that in our brief on pages 32 through 39. Additionally, and for those reasons, we do request that the trial court, or that this court affirm the trial court's dismissal of count two of Harmonia's amended complaint. Regarding the denial of Harmonia's motion for judgment, the administrative record in the case demonstrates that the trial court correctly denied Harmonia's motion. Although Harmonia continues to disagree before this court with two risks that the technical panel assigned to Harmonia's technical proposal, Harmonia still provides no reason to overturn the trial court's conclusion that assignment of those risks was not irrational. Instead, as the trial court appropriately recognized, there's a lot of discretion when making technical evaluations, and refusing to second-guess that evaluation was the appropriate course, as it was amply supported by the record. There was some discussion about risks associated with cross-training and peer testing, even though the technical evaluation panel determined that there was some benefit to that, there was also caution in that benefit. Even though Harmonia appears to point to the contracting officer not giving a fair read to their proposal, there was no error by the technical evaluation panel in assigning both a strength and a risk for the same proposal aspect that the agency reasonably believed could present both benefits and risks. For example, with the cross-training, there could be benefits by eliminating single points of failure, but there also could be delays through the action of having to cross-train people. Regarding the extract, transform, and load tool that Harmonia references in their briefing before this court, the challenge there is similar. Even though Harmonia contends that the agency should have understood its proposal to name that tool as an example, given the number of times that Harmonia mentioned a specific tool in its proposal, which appears, for example, at Appendix 10657 and 10740, Harmonia had the burden to make clear that it was not proposing to use that particular tool, and the agency was grounded in its thinking that the tool's compatibility with its systems could have caused delays and increased costs. In the end, the assignment of these risks should be upheld, and in any event, as we detail in our brief, Harmonia has not established that it was significantly prejudiced by the assignment of those risks. Regarding the best value determination, similarly, Harmonia's challenge to that determination continues to be meritless. Like with the technical evaluation, Harmonia has provided no reason to overturn the trial court's conclusion that the best value determination was not irrational. The trial court correctly discerned the agency's wide discretion when making a best value determination, particularly where here there was a lot of technical expertise involved. With that backdrop and what the trial court found to be a well-documented trade-off analysis that noted the technical superiority of the awardee Elitix's proposal, in accordance with the terms of the RFQ, the solicitation in this case, this protest ground continues to fail. And if there are no further questions from the court, in conclusion, we respectfully request that the trial court affirm the judgment of this court affirm the judgment of the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byrd. Mr. English has some rebuttal time remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor. Briefly to touch on a couple of points that Mr. Byrd raised, I believe I heard him to say that Harmonia could have gotten the remedy it wanted, which is a size review, by filing a size protest, and that's just simply not true. As we discussed earlier, the most we could have gotten out of a size protest from the SBA in terms of actually making a determination would have been a denial or a dismissal of our untimely protest. The contracting officer would have had an obligation to send that protest forward to the SBA, but the contracting officer doesn't make this decision. In fact, we've never asked that he make the decision. We've only alleged that under the circumstances, he should have recognized that there was a question to ask. The contracting officer being on notice is another point that Mr. Byrd raised, and there's no question he was. He participated in the initial status conference and in every stage of the proceedings before the claims court. And so if he was going to take action, he had all the information, he had the briefs, he had the administrative record, he had all the information he would have needed to take any action he thought was appropriate. If he wanted to ask for a recertification.
But his failure to do that worked to the disadvantage of Harmonia. And so why shouldn't Harmonia have taken the action in its own best interest?
Well, I think, Your Honor, we took the action that Harmonia thought it could take, and the only action it was available to it, once it realized this ostensible subcontractor issue, which we didn't know until we got the administrative record and the protest below, was to challenge the contracting officer's failure to recognize the problem and refer the matter to the SBA. There's nothing we could have done at the SBA to get any sort of remedy. That was foreclosed to us. All we could have gotten was a denial of an untimely SBA protest. And so the only thing that was available is exactly what Harmonia did, which is to challenge the failure to recognize the problem. I want to briefly mention the Rima Consulting case that we cited in our brief, and this is the only case on point, we think, from the Court of Claims. But in that instance, Judge Allegra conducted the very analysis that we think the claims court should have conducted in this case. And speaking specifically to 19301-1B, Judge Allegra on page 531 of that opinion wrote, quote, under this regulation, the CO here was thus required to accept the awardee's representations regarding its size unless one of the two exceptions to that rule was triggered. As will be seen, neither of those exceptions were triggered. So as we allege here, all we have challenged is the contracting officer's failure to recognize that there was a potential issue that gave him reason to question Alethics' size representation, and that would have required him to refer the matter to the SBA to answer that question. We never asked him or argued that he or the claims court should have made a determination or reviewed one. We'd ask the court to reverse the judgment of the claims court.
Thank you. We appreciate the arguments of both counsel, and we take the case under submission.
The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.